This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I'm Alan Sepinwall. I'm the chief TV critic for Rolling Stone, which is a fancy way of saying that I watch TV for a living. But there's so many television shows being made now that even I can't watch all the ones I want to. But what if you didn't have to binge an entire series? What if you just looked at the very first episode of a show you'd never seen, and then the very last? Would you feel like you'd gotten the complete experience, or would you be completely lost at the end? Well, there's only one way to find out. Welcome to a new episode of Too Long, Didn't Watch. As our guest today, we are very pleased to have, you know him from a million things, including Human Giant, Children's Hospital, and its spinoff Medical Police, available to stream right now on Netflix. Rob Hubel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for being here. This is a crazy thing we're about to do.
In what way?
I feel like I'm missing out. I'm a little panicky because I feel like this is a great show we're about to talk about.
What show are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about The Leftovers. I feel like I should have picked something really dumb to do that I didn't care about because I feel like I'm going to care about this show.
All right. Well, we're going to find out about that. What are you watching these days?
Well, let me see. Should we say that when we're recording this, we're just on the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic? I think it was announced yesterday. So I'm about to watch every single show. I'm about to go into my bunker and watch every single television show ever produced. I just finished Succession, which was amazing, and I'm on the hunt right now. This is a great time for me to be doing this. My wife and I are looking for a new show. We have a three-year-old that, you know, she goes to bed at night, and we have basically 2 hours before we pass out, and we typically watch, you know, anything. So my wife kind of forces me to watch sort of mindless HGTV, you know, stuff like that, any of that real estate bullshit. Can I say bullshit on this show?
You can.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, we watch dumb property bros, and you know, no offense to the property brothers. They're not dumb, but, you know, that whole—
You can turn your brain off and watch
yes,
the property brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Just let it all wash over you. So we're on the hunt for something great.
Okay. So when The Leftovers was on in the mid-teens, why didn't you watch it?
It was too long. I couldn't watch it, Alan. It was too long. No. it was definitely on my radar, and I feel kind of bad because I'm not friends with Justin Theroux, but am I saying his last name right?
I think it's Theroux.
Theroux. See, I'm not friends. I'm glad I didn't say he was my best friend, but he's friends with, like, friends of mine from Children's Hospital and stuff. You know, he's friends with David Wayne and Ken Marino and all those guys, and we've corresponded a little bit on Instagram. He said that he liked our new show, Medical Police, and so he seems like a really nice guy, and now I feel bad. And then I did a little movie called Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town, and I had like a couple scenes with Carrie Coon. Is it singular or plural?
Yeah, singular. Carrie Coon.
Yep. So I can't say I'm great friends with her. I didn't even know her last name either. But I'm a fan of those people. And having met her, I just feel bad. In general,
yes.
I feel bad.
That sequence that the two of you are in and Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town is my favorite part of that movie.
Oh, wow. Thank you for saying that. And she's amazing. She's
yes.
So incredible. I don't say this lightly. I do feel bad that I didn't watch this show.
All right. Do you have any idea what it's about?
No, I don't know. It's not about a restaurant that has food left over after people leave, right?
No, it is not.
Okay, because that would also— – we should pitch that show where it's just about like, oh, what's this? Oh, it looks like half a pastrami sandwich.
Although, I mean, at this point, it would have to be a period piece because no one's going to be going to restaurants
going
for
to
a little while.
Weren't restaurants a great idea?
Yes.
Do you remember when we all went to restaurants?
All right, so The Leftovers, it aired for 3 seasons on HBO from 2014 to 2017. It was adapted by Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof and Tom Parada from Parada's novel about a kind of sideways rapture that causes 2% of the population to vanish.
Wow.
It's in the opening scene, so I'm not spoiling too much for
okay.
you. Its first season starred, among others, Justin Theroux, Amy Brenneman, Carrie Coon, Christopher Eccleston, and Margaret Qualley. Let's go back to the mid-2010s to find out what this version of the end of the world looked like.
It's a red button. Perfect. It'll start back up.
Amy Brenneman is in this. Right, is that what you said? Wow. She reminds me of my TV wife from Transparent, Amy Landecker.
Yes.
And so that will also confuse me.
911, what's your emergency?
My son's missing.
Okay, I like dogs. I'm on board.
Come.
What the fuck? Okay. I don't like this show. Oh, no. Not another dead animal.
I think there might be another dead animal.
This doesn't sound good. The old dream sequence trick.
Or was it?
Theroux is ripped.
Yes.
He did a lot of push-ups.
Yep, he's often shirtless or more on this show.
Well, then I'm on board.
Every one of us was touched by the events of October 14th, but no one more than our honored speaker, Nora Durst.
Did Carrie Coon win Emmy Awards for this?
She was never even nominated for an Emmy for this.
That's bullshit.
Oh, indeed.
All four of us sick and miserable, but alive and together.
Okay.
All right. So,
a lot to unpack.
All right. So, first reactions, what did you think of it?
Great pilot. Great pilot. As an outsider, I got to say there's a lot going on. I'm trying to track several different storylines. I don't get the full picture, which is part of a pilot. They're not going to put all their cards on the table. But great performances. I'm fully on board, and now I'm pissed off at myself that I didn't watch this show.
All right, so for the benefit of the people who did not just spend, you know, an hour and 20 minutes watching this pilot with us, briefly describe what happened in it.
Okay. The show opens, there's some kind of rapture going on. We don't know whether it's the end of the world or whether it's like, you know, a biblical situation. There seem to be indications that even bad people were raptured, so therefore proving that this was not a religious event. So we don't know exactly where 2%
of 2%.
So 2% of the population just vanished. And now this town, Mapleton, sounds like a delightful spot, is trying to deal with the fallout. And then they do very quickly sort of flash forward to 3 years later. And so now people are trying to still solve the mystery of what happened. We don't fully know, but there are also some different players going on, different camps, if you will. There is some sort of cult going on. There's a group of people that Amy Brenneman is in. It's like this cult that doesn't talk. They just smoke a lot and they communicate with written messages to each other. But they obviously formed in reaction to this rapture situation. But we don't know why the cult exists. Can I say cult? I think it's a cult.
Yeah, yes. The Guilty Remnant, they call themselves.
The Guilty Remnant, thank you, the GR. They show up at a parade in the pilot. The town mayor thinks it would be a great idea on the third anniversary to have a parade to sort of celebrate or remember all of the victims or people that were raptured. Justin Theroux's character says, no, that's a terrible idea. The GR is going to show up. The shit is going to go down. I can't tell you that I can keep people safe. Of course, that's what happens. Everybody, the town shows up. The parade is going great. And then right on cue, the GR shows up. They march down the hill in these white robes. They're all, no one's talking. They're just smoking. And then they flash these signs that they made that spell out the phrase, stop wasting your breath. Well, you can't say that about people that were raptured. So the townspeople go fucking ballistic and they get in the faces of all these people and they start beating the shit out of them. I gotta say, it would be kind of fun to beat up a defenseless person because the GR people don't fight back.
Yeah.
They just take the abuse. So they just keep smoking and all the townspeople just beat the fuck out of them. So that's pretty satisfying to watch. So they basically set up these opposing camps in the pilot. And the other one that I am sort of trying to sort out. They're not a cult, but Justin Theroux's son, who I forget his name.
Tommy
is involved in taking people to see this religious figure, ? Is the guy's name Wayne?
Holy Wayne.
I'm sorry. If you're listening to this show and you've watched the whole thing, you're going to think I'm a fucking idiot. So Tommy is taking people to see Holy Wayne for money so that they can become unburdened. And I don't know exactly what that means. Am I doing a great job or a terrible job?
No, you're doing a fine job. A lot happens.
And much happens.
I had read the book that this was based on, and I think if I had not, I would have been lost too when I first watched it.
But great pilot, great performances. What a cool, compelling world that they have built. And very briefly, I will just say again, we're doing this right as our world is collapsing and coronavirus, is just like exploding and everyone here is trying to figure out what to do. We don't know how bad it's going to be. If you're listening to this months from now, you will say, oh, what an adorable thing that they did when they met up face to face and made a podcast. People don't do that anymore. Now we live underground like mole people.
Yes.
I don't know if that's where it's going, but probably.
So let's drill down on a few of the characters. Your former co-star, Carrie Coon, who did she play?
Carrie Coon, we don't know exactly who she is. I guess she's a mom in the town. She gives a great, great monologue, this speech about how she remembers this time when her family was all sick in bed with the flu and they couldn't leave the house and they just wanted to like die. And she says, like, I thought I was going to die. Like, that's the lowest of the low, like the worst memory she has of her family. So she tells that story on stage at the parade. And then she says, and right now I would like give anything to have that day back. Like just that shitty fucking day. I would love to have just to have them back for that. So I took that to mean that did her whole family get raptured?
Yes, her husband and both her young children.
Okay. So that's a bummer. So she's dealing with that. And that's sort of all we know about her right
yes.
now. And then, Justin Theroux, who's trying to, he's the sheriff in the town. And then he's got his own shit going on too. He's the father of two teenagers. His wife, they set up the whole pilot as if she has been raptured. At one point, he even looks at a picture on the wall and he fucking bashes it in, shatters the picture with his elbow. Badass move. I'm surprised his shirt wasn't off when he did that. But then at the end, it's revealed that his wife was not raptured. She's just in the GR. So he goes to see her at the end and he makes a tearful plea to please come home. And then that doesn't happen. He gets the shit beat out of him.
And his wife is...
is Amy Brenneman, Lori, who reminds me of my TV wife from Transparent, Amy Landecker. They look similar to me.
Yeah.
And they're both delightful people.
So everyone throughout this pilot keeps saying that they don't know what caused this event called the sudden departure. We see on the TV, like, senatorial hearings trying to figure it out and nobody has an answer. Do you expect this to be a show that's going to answer what happened?
Who? Well, knowing Damon Lindelof, did I pronounce his name
right? You did.
I'm very concerned about the pronunciation of people's last names. I know that he came from the world of Lost and other where Lost sort of famously set up that world and then they ran away from answering the questions. I think they sort of chose not to address everything. If I had to guess, I would say that they may have learned a lesson from Lost and they probably want to pay it off a little bit. So yeah, I'll roll the dice and say they tell us what happened.
Okay. So in this pilot, you see that it's Kevin Garvey, the Justin Theroux character, versus the guilty remnant. And there's also the stuff going on with Holy Wayne down in his compound. What do you see as sort of the driving narrative engine of the show or the chief conflict of the show?
You motherfucker. How dare you try to make me sort this out? let me see. What would I do? I would imagine that alliances have to be formed. People have to fall in love. People have to betray each other. There have to be secrets that come out. Now, this is I'm being way too vague. I would imagine that just to double back real quick, in the GR, they don't talk. So we got to figure that out. And they did talk at the end of the pilot when Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, his daughter is named
Liv, whose character is Meg.
Tyler, I know she's fantastic and she's a great actor. I just wanted to give a shout out to Aerosmith.
Of course, as one would.
I would imagine that people infiltrate the GR. I would imagine that Justin Theroux loses control of his teenage kids because they're teenagers. Tommy gets, I would imagine, fully sort of enslaved, for lack of a better word, in that organization. But we don't know whether that is real or whether Holy Wayne is a fucking hustler or, you know, some sort of sham artist. Let me see. His teenage daughter, I think they got to mend their fences. They got to come together and say, look, we got to fucking work this shit out. I need your help in figuring out what's going on and taking down Holy Wayne and his group and getting Tommy back out of there. These are wild swings, and I don't know if any of this is right. And then also, let's figure out what's going on in the GR. Is it real or is it a bullshit money-making multi-level marketing? Does everybody have to sell Tupperware? Or Mary Kay Cosmetics. We don't know.
So based on just seeing this pilot so far, is there a character on the show you would want to play?
Justin Theroux, yes, for a couple reasons. Number one, I think we can all agree I'm a great actor.
Yes.
Great, great, great. And I want to say I'm in better shape than Justin. No, I mean, he's so great in the show, and I don't think I could do it justice. Like, you can just see so much going on in his eyes and in his face and how he's dealing with all this. So I don't think I could do a better job than what he's doing. So maybe I could play... Oh, you know, I would like to be on the police force. I would like to work with Theroux and help him fight the bad guys. I think that would be a really fun job, but I would take it seriously. I wouldn't dick around and try to make it funny. This is not a comedy show, but I would like to work with Theroux, you know, like, okay, maybe we could be partners or something like that.
You'd be the one who's like 2 days away from retirement.
Yeah.
Do you see any themes or conflicts in common with any of the shows you've been on previously?
I did a very low-budget comedy movie with Craig Robinson and Anna Kendrick called Rapture Palooza. But it was sort of, strangely, the comedy version of this. Basically, the rapture happens, and all the good people get sucked up to heaven, and all the dirtbags and shitty people are left behind. And that's us. So thematically, yes, the rapture happened in that movie is what I'm saying. So okay, there's a loose connection there. I just did a show on Netflix that I'm going to plug, Medical Police, which is sort of the, strangely enough, the comedy version of what we're fucking living through in our real lives right now, which is this coronavirus outbreak, global pandemic. We had no idea how on the nose we would be when they wrote that show 2 years ago. You know, we didn't know that we would be living through these times. You could connect that to this show, The Leftovers, just in the sense that there is a global phenomenon happening that is a huge mystery, and you're trying to solve that mystery. So I'll connect it to that.
All right, you ready to jump all the way to the end of the series to see if any of your guesses were right?
Man, this is gonna fucking shatter my mind. Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Well, they went with a new open.
They did, yeah.
Nora, can you hear me?
Yes.
We're going to begin, Nora.
Sarah, does the name Kevin mean anything to you? Because a man calling himself that came by yesterday.
If old Kevin is ripped, I'm going to get pissed off.
Photo of you.
I don't think he takes his shirt off.
Did you tell him anything? Of course not. But I think he knew I was lying.
So she and Kevin were obviously a couple for a long time?
Yes.
On the show? Okay.
What are you doing?
And he is for some reason acting as if they were not.
He's acting.
Yes. Or at least she thinks he's acting.
Yes.
We don't know.
Okay.
Showed a picture of me to the nun at the convent. That's how you found out where I lived.
Why would I have a picture of you?
I just came from there. She told me that you asked if I...
Are you married?
He's getting down to business.
What? Are you married?
He's become a creepy old man.
I noticed you weren't wearing a wedding ring. And I saw that they were having a dance in town. Now bring out the dance with me.
If I had watched the show, I'd probably be crying at this point, right?
Yes. Oh, I was, big time.
And that's when I understood. Over here, we lost some of them. But over there, they lost all of us. When I got there, I stood behind a tree across the street and I waited. At first, I didn't recognize them. And I understood that here in this place,
They were the lucky ones. And I was a ghost. And that, Kevin, is when I changed my mind. I came back here. And I knew that if I told you what happened, that you would never believe me.
I believe you.
You do?
Why wouldn't I believe you?
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's an awesome finale. And I haven't even fucking seen the show. But that really makes me mad at myself for not having watched it at the time. But what fucking good performances, man. Shit.
Carrie Coon is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And Theroux is no slouch.
No, not at all.
Really interesting finale. Was that an hour?
It's about an hour 10.
It didn't feel like that at all. No. And I have not, again, I am not invested in this. I have not watched the show, but like for an episode where it's all exposition, I mean, there's no explosions or no one's running. There's no guns or car chases. It's just all exposition. Like it didn't feel like over an hour to me. Yeah, a lot to unpack.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
All right, well, let's start here then.
Yeah.
Again, for the benefit of the people who did not just spend the last 70 minutes watching it, what roughly happens?
Carrie Coon goes into a machine that allows her to cross over to go see her kids and her family. And we don't know what happened. And then so we see her enter the machine and it's sort of like the Matrix. It's a little pod and it fills up with water. And then it hard cuts to, I don't know why people say hard cut. A cut is a cut, no matter what it is. It cuts to her way in the future, now an older person living in Australia. We don't know how or where or why. We don't know whether that's, you know, the viewer doesn't know what's going on, certainly this viewer. And we find out that it's just way in the future. And Justin Theroux, his character, Kevin, goes and finds her there. And they are reunited and they go to a wedding. You know, they sort of dance around. He is acting as though he doesn't remember a lot of stuff.
So he's basically you in this episode.
Yes.
He has not watched the rest of the show either.
Yes, exactly. I could have played him in the finale. Yeah, and then so we basically learn there at the end what actually happened, that she crossed over and went to see her family and then got there and saw that they were fine, that they were happy, that they had like moved on. And as she says, like she was now a ghost. So you're seeing it from both sides. You're learning about the loss and the longing of losing somebody from both sides of it. Tough stuff. But yeah, really good. Look, I'm affected by that. And like, I didn't even fucking watch the show.
Well, I remember earlier there's a scene where they're slow dancing at the wedding and you kind of joked like, if I'd watched the rest of the show, I would be crying. But you're kind of worked up now at the end.
Yeah, man, that's fucking good shit.
And Nora is a character who is in the pilot for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. She gives a speech and that's all we see of her. Then you jump to this finale that is all Nora. She's in every scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, I extrapolated that she's the lead. You know, I knew from being in the world and seeing marketing that she's the lead of the show. But really incredible, and what a cool idea to see, and I don't know, I have so many questions about all of the other storylines that were going on, but I guess like at this point, there was nothing else to resolve. Like, that was the only thing left. I'm assuming that everything else had been tied up.
They had dealt with everything except what was going to happen between Kevin and Nora and this question of what caused the sudden departure and where the people went.
Yeah. She said something that really struck me when she's explaining about crossing over. She said, you know, we had lost, and I'm paraphrasing, we had lost some of them, but they had lost all of us. And that's like, it's really fascinating. That's a really just interesting angle on that. You know, like, if you think about that, like, oh, dead people, and I don't know how this fits into the larger picture there, but like, yeah, dead people have lost all of us, but we've only lost some of them. But anyway, so let's unpack some more stuff.
Well, all right, I have an important question then.
Yes.
I almost hesitate to ask this because
why am I being such a pussy? Why am I crying like a baby?
No.
And for the listener, I wasn't crying, but people don't care. I can cry. I'm capable of feeling human emotions.
So you believe the story that she tells Kevin at the end?
Well, I guess as an outsider, I would like to believe that because I think that that is a really beautiful exploration. But you're saying that that didn't happen?
No, I'm saying it's ambiguous.
Oh, we don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it cuts right from her. She's about to say something as the pot is filling up, and then she's just an old woman in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to. I feel like we've come this far, and we've enjoyed. I'm assuming we've all enjoyed the ride, and we're emotionally invested in these characters and what happens to them. So why fuck with us? You know, like, let's assume that's real.
Were you surprised by how different this did? This feel different to you from the pilot, first of all?
Yeah, totally. I also feel like this pilot may have been an exception to the rest of the series. Like, I'm sure that the rest of the series, because people, I don't think, would watch such a slow-paced series. Not that this is an action series or anything, but like, there's so much that you have to stick in a finale, which is really hard. And
yeah.
You know, everyone knows that finales are almost impossible to do well. And I actually have no idea how this was received, if people liked it or
people
hated
it.
They did. Okay, good. Yeah, so it's just such a hard thing to do, I think, writing-wise, to tie up all the loose ends and really make that satisfying for people. That's a really huge task to undertake. So that's such a big swing, and I feel like the only thing you can do is what they did, which is just have people talk. You can't, you know, you just have to have people sit down face to face and have like long, heartfelt confessions and also a shitload of symbolism.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, the goat and the beads and everything.
Yeah, and the birds coming back at the end, that everything's coming back to normal now. And yeah, everybody's coming back home. So let's unpack some other stuff.
Well, you said you had questions.
Okay. What's the deal with Holy Wayne?
Holy Wayne is less prominent. Like, he's basically only a season one character.
Oh, wow.
He's sort of in the very next episode, the ATF now has an anti-cult task force after the departure, and they come and they raid the compound, and Tommy is on the run for most of season one, and then eventually Holy Wayne gets shot and randomly bumps into Kevin in a men's room, like right as he's dying, and grants Kevin some kind of magical final wish that we'd never actually find out what it is.
Okay, and does he actually have magical abilities, or is he a shyster?
The first major Nora episode, she meets him after a conference. He offers to give her one of his special hugs, and he does it.
Wait a second. I've had a special hug before, and I didn't like it.
She hugs him, and she feels much better afterwards for a little while, and then she goes back to being upset and eventually, you know, making the decision she makes at the start here.
So we don't know if he has any real ability to unburden people or whether that's just bullshit.
Well, there's a lot of stuff over the course of the series that could be magical, but they never say. And what Lindelof has said to me a number of times is they figure, all right, well, if 2% of the world's population went away, then maybe 2% of this show is supernatural, but we're never going to say which parts are and are not. So
Lindelof,
a lot of it is left up.
Lindelof loves to do this to us.
Yes.
Doesn't he? Can you unpack some of the GR for me?
This is good because I have some multiple choice questions for you.
Oh, shit.
All right. So this way we
is can, there a prize?
The prize is spending more time with me, which is the best prize of all, really. So this was a show that scared a lot of people off over the course of that first season. it was too intense. And even Lindelof has said, like, he was just got really depressed making it and made it way too dark.
Wow.
So they came back for the second season and the tone changed a bit. You got
to taste
of it. here in this finale, but let me ask you. The second season's opening scene takes place in outer space, the bottom of the sea, or caveman times?
Damn it. I'll say, I mean, it's probably like a dream sequence, so it could be any of those, but I'll say bottom of the sea.
All right, let's see what it is.
I see the fire. I know where this is going. Caveman times.
Yep. There's an extended sequence where there's an earthquake that takes out like an entire cave woman village, and there's one survivor. Whoa. And she is dealing with the same survivor's guilt that Nora and everybody else deals with in the present.
Wow. And they just had this scene as a one-off?
Yes, yeah, a one-off.
I could have played one of these cavemen easy. When season two started, people were like, what the fuck?
Entirely.
I am not going to watch an entire season of Cave People.
But it was weird because there was a lot of people who had written off the show as too dour and too punishing. And the ones who were at least willing to watch the season two premiere, I remember the reaction being, wow, this is not what I was expected. And yeah, it seemed almost weirdly playful.
And have you talked to Damon, may I call him Damon?
Sure.
About like the process with HBO? Like, I wonder how HBO is creatively, if they're weighing in with him on like storylines and like where it's going and, oh, that's too dark.
I think they all realized it had gotten too dark.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not like a happy show afterwards. You know, sure. It's a tearjerker throughout. But what future Oscar winner injured themselves in real life while filming for the show a trampoline scene scored to a Wu-Tang Clan song? Was it Mahershala Ali, Regina King, or Laura Dern?
That sounds like something Mahershala would do.
All right, let's find out.
First of all, Wu-Tang Clan is the fucking best.
They are.
They are the best in the world.
There we go.
Oh, it's Regina King. I knew it. I knew it. I shouldn't have said Mahersh. I should not have said that. It's Regina.
She's also the best.
That's awesome.
A running gag on the show involves the entire cast of a TGIF sitcom all vanishing in the sudden departure, only for it to pay off later when we find out that one of them faked their disappearance.
Can you read that again? Would you say a TGIF sitcom?
Yeah, like the entire cast of one of the TGIF shows all vanishes in the sudden departure.
What's a TGIF show?
The ABC family sitcoms from the late 80s and early 90s.
Alan, that's inside baseball.
They promoted it like that way. An entire generation loves the TGIF brand.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, regardless, the entire cast of an ABC family sitcom.
Thank you.
All departing, and it paid off later when we found out that one of the actors actually faked their disappearance. Which show was it? Perfect Strangers, Full House, or Family Matters?
I think it would be best if it's Perfect Strangers.
All right, let's find out.
They just called from downstairs. You know who it is? It's Nora Durst.
Yeah.
Please, come on in.
Wait. Marklin Baker as himself.
That's amazing.
Yep, and he gives this incredible dramatic monologue.
I'm on the fucking board.
Way to go.
Wait, you set that up like that's a gag. Like, that seems like a legit storyline.
Yes, it is. He actually is involved with the scientists who have built the machine, and that's all I will say about that
okay.
for now.
Okay.
All right. In the final season, several characters travel to Melbourne using what unusual method of transportation? A, a hot air balloon piloted by Marklin Baker. B, a ferry boat with a lion-themed orgy. Or C, a submarine commandeered by a naked Frenchman on his way to prevent a sea monster egg from hatching in the South Pacific.
Whoever writes your questions is on a lot of mushrooms. those are some very specific scenarios. I would say C, the submarine.
The submarine actually happens on the show, but it is not how the characters get to Melbourne. It's a different episode.
That's fucking, give me some points. That's bullshit.
Fair. I will give you points for that.
Okay.
But the actual answer is the lion-themed sex boat.
Oh, I was not going to pick that one. I thought it might be the hot air balloon.
No, and at the end of the episode with the lion-themed sex boat, there's a character on board the boat claiming to be God, and Matt does not like him at all, and they have a big argument, and then this is how the episode ends.
Wow. This show went crazy.
Oh my God, yes.
The budget for this show.
So the guy in the red baseball cap has claimed to be God.
Whoa, what a great stunt. What a fucking awesome stunt. Did he let the lion out of the cage to scare away the police and the lion ended up killing him?
Protesters let the lion out of the cage.
Oh, they let him out, okay. That's an awesome... Is that the cold open?
That's the end of an episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fucking awesome. I would not want to be that stunt man that did that stunt. Because that lion has no idea that we're filming a TV show.
Yeah.
That lion is like, oh, is this your head? I'm going to eat it.
Let's give Rob a break so that you guys can have a chance to answer a question. The Leftovers was a show that bounced around in location a lot, starting out in the New York suburbs and ending in Australia. Where did Kevin, Nora, and many of the show's other characters relocate for the second season? A. To Amsterdam, so Kevin could more easily get high every day to deal with his grief. B. To a town in Texas where nobody got raptured. Or C. To a survivalist compound in the Utah Salt Flats to find protection from the guilty remnant. Think you know the answer? Let's see if you're right with help from my Google assistant. Hey Google, where did season 2 of The Leftovers take place?
According to Wikipedia, in the second season, the location shifts from Mapleton to the fictional town of Jardin, Texas, where not a single citizen was lost in the sudden departure.
There you have it. Jardin, Texas, sometimes referred to on the show as Miracle. Thanks, Google. And now, back to our show. All right, the last one is, which of the following happens when Kevin has a near-death experience and wakes up in a mirror dimension? A, he's an international assassin. B, he has to sing karaoke to return to the land of the living. C, he is president of the United States. Or D, all of the above.
Jeez. Well, it's got to be all of the above. You wouldn't have given me that option.
Yes. You're very smart, and it is, in fact, all of the above, because they go to this place three different times, and here is a clip of him as the President of the United States.
What the fuck is this show about? That guy's rocking a sweet mustache.
Now, your penis, please, sir.
My what?
Your penis. Place it on the other scanner, please, sir.
Why?
Mr. President, due to advancements in plastic surgery, anyone with enough resources can copy a person's face. But your penis, sir, well, they're not going to go to that length.
I could have played that guy. Your penis, sir. Whip it out, put it on the scanner.
So he's the President of the United States who has to scan his own dick.
You're kind of messing with me here. Did he whip out his dick? Did we get to see it?
You don't see it. You hear it, though.
You hear a thud?
Yes, you hear a very loud thud.
Yeah, a loud one?
Yes.
Come on.
No, it's a running gag on the show that...
Theroux was like, can we make that louder? Guys, make it louder. More of like a thwonk. So amazing. This show is like... Now, bonkers to me.
Yes.
Like, really crazy. I gotta watch this show. I have to watch it. I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't watch it because I have loved this.
So it sounds like, are you actually going to go watch the show now?
Yeah. I gotta somehow hook my wife into it. How am I going to, because my wife controls me. How do I get her on board?
The thing you just have to keep telling her is if she's struggling in the first season.
We're going to see Theroux's dick. We're going to hear it.
Yes. There's
she'll watch it if there's a chance of that.
A lot of talk of Theroux's dick, certainly. And
great.
But beyond that, just say like, look, even if it's hard now, the payoff is going to be so worth it. And once you get to season 2, you'll just be on rails, and I think it'll be okay.
Great.
Yes.
Great. That's a hard...
It's a hard ask, because that's
a hard ask for shows, because there are a lot of shows that do that by accident. Certainly no one tries to do that, but like, you know, how many times have you been like, well, if you just get through the first fucking 6 hours...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was told about Succession.
Me too. That's what I was thinking when I said that. Like, everyone said like, well, just get to the point where he's in the tunnel, you know, where he's like has the freak, you know, and you're like, all right, and when's the tunnel coming, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's awesome. You know, that's a tricky thing. I'm going to get my wife to watch us, and we got to get on board with this.
All right. So before we watch the finale, you sort of guessed what you thought the show would be. Clearly, it went in a different direction. Which version do you prefer? What little you've seen of the actual thing or what you had in your head?
Well, I mean, was I how far off was I? I mean, like I was just taking sort of general swings at relationships and alliances and stuff like that.
But just the idea that like the guilty remnant ultimately is not a thing by the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, that's very surprising. But, you know, they should do that. Like, I feel like a good pilot and good writers set up stuff and they're like, you know what? We're done with this. We're done. Like, let's keep it going. Let's keep people engaged. You know, so I think like a smart writer's room will say like, fuck it. And, you know, let's not be married to this group of people anymore. Let's just get on to the next thing. And like, I think you have to constantly refresh things. things and keep the world interesting and fluid so that people will come back to it. So yeah, I was way off, but it seems like it's going to be a way better show than what my dumb mind could have imagined.
So on the one hand, I'm sorry that I kind of made you watch the show this way, I mean, but on the other, you're going to watch it now.
Yeah, but you really should apologize to all of your guests. You have to, you know, as soon as they come in, you have to say, I'm so sorry. Because it does ruin the show, but not really, because, yeah, I am definitely going to go watch it now. I mean, dude, I got to say, the acting in this show is unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, Carrie Coon is a killer. Yep. She is a killer. Like, and
I'd never seen her in anything, and now I will watch anything she does.
What did she come from?
Chicago theater. She was in Steppenwolf.
Of course.
Then she came to New York. She and Tracy Letts are now married. They were in a play together, and so she'd done some theater. She was had a small role in Gone Girl as, I think, Ben Affleck's sister.
Oh, right.
But basically, this was it. So she falls out of the sky, and she's this great.
She is a fucking amazing. And Theroux, again, yeah, Knocking it out of the park. I'm so jealous of those guys.
I gotta get on this show.
Can't they do a fourth season with me? All right, Alan, I appreciate you. I would have gone my whole life and not have taken the time to do this, to bookend a great series like this and certainly jump into it in this fashion. But I'm glad I did. It's a terrible thing to do to somebody, but an effective way to hook them in. And I'm hooked.
Rob Hubel, I thank you and I'm sorry. Well, thanks to all of you for tuning in to Rolling Stone and OBB Sounds Too Long Didn't Watch, presented by Google Assistant. This is Alan Sepinwall reminding you to please let the mystery be. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed the foolishness you just heard, we'd like to ask you to do the same things that all podcasts ask you for. Please like, subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcasting platform, and please spread the word to anyone else you know who might enjoy it too. This has been OBB Sound and Rolling Stone's Too Long Didn't Watch, brought to you by Google Assistant and hosted by me, Alan Sepinwall. Executive produced by Michael D. Ratner, Scott Ratner, Elias Tanner, and Alyssa Walker of OBB Sound, a division of OBB Media, and Gus Winter of Rolling Stone. Co-executive produced by Arlen Konopacki and Grace Delia of OBB Sound, and Bridget Chelsea and Maria Fontora of Rolling Stone. The production was engineered by Evan Menick and Daniel Wanacott, edited, mixed, and mastered by Michael Capuano, sound designed by Michael Capuano, original music by Daniel Wanacott. Production assistants were Jennifer Spotts and Raquel Dominguez.